It's good to see you this morning. I told my youth and my young adult, or actually, yeah, I told my young adults this story a couple weeks ago. Speaking of right to life, is I was watching this interview with a young lady who was in her teenage years. She was in South Africa, and she had trouble at home, and so she began to decide to leave home. And as would have it, there was a gentleman who was a little bit older than her that befriended her, and showed her attention and said, "Why don't you come away with me and we'll live happily ever after." And he took her to Europe. And when he got her to Europe and realized that she could not get back home because she had no money and she was totally dependent upon him, that he proceeded to sell her into the sex trafficking business. And for years, she was abused in all those ways. And miraculously, God got her out of that. One of the things that she struggled with was she says, "If I go home, they're going to reject me there now. So either I stay here in hell on this side, or I go back to South Africa and I'd be in hell on that side." And so she just kind of made it through life for a little while doing that, until finally God plucked her out, but she didn't know it was God that had done that. So some years go by, she's back at home, and she marries a man that knows about her past, that chooses to receive her and to love on her. But she was not a follower of Christ yet. And so one day, a friend invited her husband and her to their worship service. And she went, and this is what she said. She said, "I went to this worship service and I heard a preacher talk about a man that loved me no matter what, that would forgive me no matter what, and would accept me and heal all the deep emotional wounds, that he would do a miracle in my life. His name was Jesus." And so she said, "My husband and I went home, and I remember distinctly going through my house and going into the hallway." And she said, "I got down on my knees and I said, 'Jesus, if you're really who that preacher said you are, then I need you to show up, because I can't go on. Either I'm going to choose death today, or today I need you to come.'" And she said, Jesus showed up in that moment in a powerful, powerful way. And she began to follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, today in this country, she has a ministry that ministers to young ladies that have had dealt with those issues and so forth. Jesus showed up. But you know something about that is this. Jesus chose to show up that time, I believe, in a spiritual sense. I believe, though, in today's world, one of the things about it is Jesus is asking us to show up on His behalf. Some of you this week have probably had a lot of thoughts about, "God, if you would just do this, God, if I could only get this, God, if I only had this, my life would be different." Well, I want to ask you a question. What if today is the moment He's going to show up and answer what's on your heart? Are you mentally prepared? Are you emotionally prepared? Are you physically prepared for what God has for you in these few brief moments? Now, here's the challenge for you, though. As God speaks to you, you're not allowed to package it up and then leave here and then choose when you get to use it. God has done something and is doing something in your life. He expects you to do something with it immediately. If He speaks to you today and reassures you of His love for you, then He expects you to absorb that and then share and show that into a world, not next Sunday, today. Today. He's asking us to show up and be powerful in a world that you know needs Him desperately. This morning, I'm just going to share a few thoughts with you. Got some scripture. Don't have any outline points. So, Kayla, all you have to do is just remember the scriptures. You don't have to take pictures of my outline points, okay? This morning, we're looking at the bread of life. We will not be taking communion at the end. And there's a very specific reason why. You know, yesterday afternoon, I was watching a certain football game that represented a certain team from this state, okay? And that was not Georgia Tech's game. And I realized that in a matter of seconds, you could experience as a fan heaven and hell. 4 seconds, that's right. That's right, Tommy. And you could go from heaven to hell like that. Situational. Situational. Perspective. Today, I need your mind and your hearts to get a perspective on what God is doing in your life and on this earth in and through you that does not start in the future, that started when you became a follower of Christ, and this is just the continuation of it. So I want to pray for us, and then John's going to throw up the first scripture for us. By the way, John, is that Jesus' Facebook picture? That's his profile picture? That's awesome. Let's pray. Well, God, you're an awesome God and a mighty God and a powerful God. And Lord, I don't understand all the ways that you do things. And I don't even understand all the reasons. I don't have to. Holy Spirit, today has been a battle. I can just sense it. I sensed it earlier this morning. Today has been a battle. So God, I'm asking you to break through that. Help us to latch on to what you're saying and what you're doing. And God, I pray today that we would honor you and glorify you. God, too much has been going on that could easily distract us. And I'm praying, Lord, can we just be in your peace for these next few moments? Can we just experience that? We're going to look at your word. We're going to honor you through that. May this be pleasing to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we read our first scripture, a few years ago, when Kathy still worked at the hospital, we were out late one night and we're driving to the house and she says, oh shoot, I forgot. I'm supposed to take a dessert to work tomorrow. We're doing this thing where every employee brings some home-cooked food and then they're going to judge and see which one's the best. And so we were out kind of late and I said, I tell you what, Pam Stovall gave me this cinnamon roll cake recipe and it's easy to make. I'll just throw it together for you real quick, okay? So, because I had all the ingredients at home. And so I went in there, and the first thing I pulled out was my 69-cent yellow cake mix from Food Lion. Okay? Because, hey, after all, this was for somebody else. Okay? So I pull it out, and you got to know something about the way I cook. Measurements are a suggestion. Okay? They're always a suggestion, but they're really a suggestion when I'm in a hurry. So I throw the cake mix in. I'm cracking a couple eggs. I think I got one or two pieces of shell out of the mix, okay? And then instead of measuring the oil in the water fountain, the water, that looks like a quarter cup to me. Oil, that looks like whatever it's supposed to be. That's good enough right now. So I start mixing it up because it was getting late. She had to have it for the next morning. So I mix that thing up and pour some icing on it. I think it calls for sugar to be on top of it. The white sugar, melt it with butter. I'm pretty sure I didn't measure that at all. I just kind of poured it on there and kind of thought what it looked like. I sent it to work with it the next day, you know, just hoping that I made sure I cooked it well and all that good stuff. She comes home through the door and she says, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? She said, your little cinnamon roll cake won first place. Here's the kicker that you can aggravate her about. You ready for this one? She never told them that I made it. They think to this day she made it. I said, so if you hadn't won and they didn't like it, were you going to tell them who made the thing, you know? So, see, sometimes you just got to go with it and get the job done. Press through. Press through. Now, a couple serious questions for you. By the way, don't ask me for Friend Day what I made, okay? Don't ask me. Don't ever ask me what I made. Because it's probably going to have something with a Kroger wrapping on it. Anyway, this is serious. It's been heavy on my heart. How many of you are still in the game? No, I mean it. How many of you are still in the game of life? How many of you are just on cruise control, coasting? How many of you have quit? Are you still getting up with enthusiasm? I don't mean every day. We all have bad days. I mean consistently. Are you still in the game? Are you still fighting the good fight? But are you really doing it? Or are you just giving the Sunday school answers? How many of you are persevering? How many of you are still desirous to hear God no matter what speak into your life and do some things in and through you? How many of you have quit praying? How many of you have decided that reading the Bible, that you pretty much have read that most of your life and that you kind of got it down and it's good enough? How many of you are still really at it, spiritually speaking? How many of you still care whether or not God finds you useful? Honest to goodness, ask yourself this question. If today God said, You can be with me in paradise, or you can stay down here and faithfully serve me. That without a doubt, you would say, I want to be in paradise because I just can't stand to be there anymore. I'm not asking you, are you desperate for God? I'm asking you, are you desperate? I'm asking you, do you feel alive? Or are you just going through the motions? Because we live in a culture and a time where, man, we're all great posers. We can all fake it with the best of us. How many of you really, when you wake up in the morning, think, praise be to God, one more day to see what He and I can do together? Or has it just become the rut? Because God had more for you than that. He had a lot more for you. And so today, I want us to look at something so simple, but yet could be life-changing for some of you, and that is that the living, breathing Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Father today and is interceding for you and for me simply because He loves us. But there has to be some choices made on our side of the equation. Okay? Some choices. Some of them are going to be tough. Some of them are going to be tough. Let's look at this scripture real quick. Probably the last time most of you hear this scripture, Psalm 23, is probably at the last reunion you went to. But I think sometimes a lot gets left out. Psalm 23, 5, that's all we're going to look at. I'm not going to read the whole thing today. You know the rest of it probably. You, David says to his heavenly Father, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. That's awesome. Praise God, we can leave now. Because we can claim that scripture, can't we? But I would ask you to think about this for just a moment. A couple of things, very, very simple. One, what's on the table for you? What's really on the table for you? The scripture says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Let me ask you a very simple question. If God filled the cup according to your faith this week, how full would that cup be? If God filled the cup according to your faith this week, would the cup overflow? Or would you be doing this? If I could just get a drop out of there. He puts it on the table before us in the presence of our enemies. Your enemies this week may have been giving up, discouragement. What's the use? There might be spiritual enemies that you actually feel the oppressiveness. I wasn't kidding in that prayer. That this morning, early on, I was up early this morning. I'm up most mornings early. But one of the first things I could just feel a heaviness today. Is there anybody else in the room that feels a heaviness today? I want to know. Terry, Julie, don't know your name, but you feel it too. Okay. Regina, all right. I'm telling you, there's a real battle that didn't start at 11 o'clock. Sometime or another, there was something that somehow or another, we got a notification that said, today's going to be a real battle. But I've got a table for you. And I'm going to prepare it in the presence of your enemies. So often I believe somehow or another, one of the enemies that we struggle with is the lie that says the only time God's going to do good for us is when we're not around the enemies. And that's a lie. If that was the truth, then somebody should have told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Jesus came into the fire, then why didn't you get them out of the fire first and then Jesus shows up? Why didn't He pluck Daniel out of the lion's den before the lions showed up? All throughout the Bible, there's examples of where God shows up in the middle of the enemies. So the first thing we need to realize is our lives are lived in the middle of a battle that their enemies, some of them are made up, but most of them are real. Because how hard is it to get up in the mornings or to go through the motions when you're feeling this lie? What difference does it make anyway? What's the use? God has a table prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. That exact same phrase, before me, can be applied to another place in the Bible that had an enemy, the garden. So you need to understand something, that God planted a garden and then put Adam and Eve in it. So some good news today. You're not going to run into some enemies, but the only way we can experience the presence of God is right smack in the middle of them. Right smack in the middle of them. But what has God put on the table? I'm not a big leftover kind of guy. Nearly not. I'm not kind of like not a big leftover. Even the food I really, really like, I'm kind of like, Kelly, we could just go get something to eat. Well, we got those leftovers. Yeah, but we could go get something to eat. We got those leftovers. We could save money if we ate those leftovers. Yeah, but we could go get something to eat. Okay? So I'm not a big leftover guy. I want you to know something. God is not shortchanging you or I today. He's not putting leftovers on the table. He's putting the bread of life on the table. And it's hot bread, and it's fresh bread, and it's life-giving bread. Now, I don't want you to listen to this today and say, that's true. I want you to think about it Thursday mid-afternoon when you believe that you've met Satan himself someplace. It may be the person you woke up next to. I don't know. Okay? But I want you to understand, I want you to claim something that God has promised you in the middle of whatever you consider the moment that feels like hell, that God's got a table and it's got the bread of life on it. And it's not dependent upon you setting the table. He's set the table. And something very important about this scripture, John, you can go to the next one, is that that table that he has set, basically think of it as not just the bread of life is there, but there's a bounty that's spread, that it's before you. That phrase, that scripture talks about something. It's a covenant dinner meeting. And here's what I mean by that, is he has sat down with you, he has sat down with me and said, we're going to engage in a reminder of our relationship together. And it is real and it is personal and we're going to look each other eyeball to eyeball and I'm going to have to tell you some things and you get a chance to share some things back to me. This isn't fast food bread of life. This is real life-giving bread of life that's hot and fresh because it's the living Christ. So Tuesday afternoon, next Saturday, next Sunday morning, there's always fresh bread on the table. And it's hot bread. It's fresh bread. It's good bread. Because Jesus is the bread. It says in John chapter 6, verses 22 through 35, on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Let me ask you a question. I know you experience physical hunger and physical thirst, but do you recognize that you are spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty? Or have you been doing something to try to fill something up that God only meant Jesus to fill for you? Do you find yourself longing because God wants to fill it? I heard a little quote this week. It says, we can use things to fill the hole in us, but only Jesus fills the void. Now you think about that for a second. Things fill the holes, but only Jesus fills the void. So this morning, as we look at this scripture, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. It's on the table in the presence of your enemies. Whether they be real or perceived or imagined, the living God is sitting at the table with you, and He's saying, why don't we eat this luscious bounty that I have prepared for us, but let's eat the life-giving bread. The life-giving bread. You know, one of the things that discourages me, I'll be honest with you, that discourages me so much when I visit somebody in some type of retirement home or nursing home, it's this simple. And it discourages me, and I fight it. I fight it hard. I'll be honest with you. Here's what discourages me. You go through the hallways. What's everybody's look? What's everybody's look? And maybe if you walk close enough, you get a little bit of that. And I ask myself this question. What would have happened had they experienced the bread of life? I admit that. Had they experienced Jesus? And I know there's a lot of scenarios. We don't have time to cover all those scenarios. But it challenges me because I realize something. For those people, they're sitting around exhibiting on the outside the way they feel on the inside. But most of us just sit around, I'm good today, man. I'm good. Y'all good? I'm good. I'm awesome. But on the inside, one more day, one more day. That's not experiencing that scripture. You see, the people Jesus was talking to, He was honest with them and He said, the only thing you want from Me is what I can provide for you physically, but you understand that I'm on the table to provide for you spiritually. And there was a missing of the point. When Jesus says to these people, don't you understand? If you come to Me hungry and thirsty, I'm more than enough. That I am. In the Old Testament, if you remember something, when Moses and God had their little rendezvous at the burning bush, and Moses said to God, well, tell me something. Who are you that's telling me to go back to that group of knuckleheads that are in slavery? And God being very to the point, didn't mess around, and He says, I am. It sent you. I am what? I am your provider. I am enough. I am the bread of life. I am essential to life. I am the God who takes care of you. You see, when God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, that wasn't the first time He had said His name. He had already said it to the forefathers. He just needed to tell Moses who was in charge. So today, one of the things I would encourage you to think about as you're sitting at the table with the bread of life is maybe the best thing is you need to say, God, I acknowledge You're in charge of this feast. That You and I are entering a relationship, a reminder today, and we're going to linger. I'm not going to have a fast food relationship anymore. I'm going to have a lingering, life-giving relationship that no matter what happens tomorrow, you're going to eat from the bread of life. That's what you're offered, to eat from the bread of life. And God is saying, I am enough. I am more than enough. And we see this so specifically in this when He tells this group of followers, I am the bread of life. But you have to be willing to be honest and say, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty and I'm tired and I'm wore down and I want to experience it from the inside out. A huge, huge, huge difference. And you know one of the points you can take away from Moses today? I know some of us in here know each other really well. And I know me and I know a lot of you. There's things on your heart you've been praying for years. Okay? Then there's some of them that you just may have started yesterday praying for. You may have been praying, God, are we really supposed to get rid of Mark Rick? Maybe we should have just kept Mark Rick and not got Kirby Smart. I don't know. Not my problem. Not the team I root for. Okay? But I want to remind you about something. It's not a Sunday school answer either. It's the real deal, put it into practice kind of stuff. You ready? While the Israelites were crying out to God, "Save us, save us, save us," God was over here talking to Moses about doing the saving. So whatever you're crying out about, if you're allowing God to well it up from the spiritual side of things, He may not be talking to you about the problem, but I promise you He's talking to somebody about the problem. Because He's not going to sit idly by. While He's preparing you to receive the answer, He's preparing something else to be the answer. And today you understand that the ultimate answer is the bread of life. But I want to encourage you, dig down another day and cry out. Dig down another day to cry out and see what happens to you as you're crying out. But the bread of life is sitting on the table and it's hot and it's ready and God is offering it free of charge. And He doesn't necessarily offer it when there's no enemies around. Think about the awesome power of God. He isn't just declaring to you His sovereignty. He's declaring to the enemies, "I am sovereign. This is my table with my child, and no one else gets to sit at the table." He's offering you the bread of life, and part of that is hope. But did you think about something for a second? As you ingest the bread of life, you can display the fruit of the Spirit. And the world sure does need the fruit of the Spirit. We don't need another person going around in anger or bitterness or with ill-conceived notions. We need people that will lead with forgiveness and love and be the salt and the light. Because what was another description of Jesus Christ? "I am the salt and the light." But He's the bread of life and He's on the table ready. John, go ahead. These two scriptures though, Psalm 34:8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." Taste and see, that's for us to experience. That's for us to experience. When it talks about tasting and seeing there, it's talking about, hey, come on, give me a try. Give me a try. Give me a try through experience. Let's see. Let me work in your life and see. Let me work in your life and see. Not in the future, but in the now. Let me work in your life now. Taste and see. And blessed is the one who runs to the table and takes refuge in it and says, "Wow, I get to sit down with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." That's how good He is. Somehow, that is beyond my comprehension, I believe that God can sit down with every one of us at the table in the presence of our enemies, one-on-one, and speak to us. It's a supernatural phenomenon that I cannot explain, but I trust that it happens because I've been with people where God's speaking to them, He's speaking to me, and He's speaking to another people. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. Do you need some security in your life? Do you need some anchoring in your life? Do you need to know today that no matter what from the past, that God still is offering you this? You know, one of the things I love about these scriptures that we're reading today? The condition is, are you willing to come? That's the condition. He set the table. He's offering Himself. He's offering the bread of life. He's pushed back the enemies. And He's saying, let's get a clear view of one another. Won't you come and see me for who I really am and what I can do in you and through you? And then the last scripture is this. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." We started out this morning looking at Psalm 23:5. Hot bread on the table in the presence of man. I reminded you that there was a garden that God had planted. And then He put Adam and Eve in there in Genesis. There was another garden that Satan tried to tempt our Savior. You see, there's multiple temptations, but there's two great temptations. One, Adam and Eve couldn't get past it. You see, they believed a lie. And I want you to know something. I know this doesn't apply to any of y'all because it doesn't apply to me. But there's other Christians out there that struggle with this, okay? That when Satan said to Eve, "Take this fruit and you'll be like God," what she should have said is, "Satan, don't you understand? I'm already like God. I'm created in His image. Eating that fruit's not going to make me any more than I am, because I'm already all that I'll ever be, because I am made me to be just like Him. The second temptation in the garden between Jesus and Satan, Jesus didn't say, I am just like my Father, but He did say, I'm here to do the will of my Father. And whatever that is, because I'm created in His image, and because I'm created in His image, I'm created to do His will. So I am here to do what the great I am has sent me to do. So while He was eating, He had to take this bread again at a table in the presence of His enemy. And He ate the bread. Another thing that I cannot comprehend is this. If you told me that tomorrow I was going to suffer what Jesus suffered, I'd pretty much tell you I'd have no appetite. And I think that's pretty fair to say as us human beings, that we probably wouldn't have much of an appetite. Okay? Because of some of the things, because of the things that we knew would be coming, right? The only, maybe not the only thing, but one of the greatest things is this. In the presence of your enemies, He offers you the bread of life so you can have the peace to enjoy the ultimate relationship. Jesus was never too busy for anyone, but even in his last hours, He was apparently at such peace. He could still think clearly. He could still make God decisions, and He still enjoyed the relationships. Now I want you to think about this. When life hits the fan for you, are you able to do those things? Are you able to do those things? Or do you kick in like most of us and you go into scramble mode, you go into survival mode? Jesus offered His disciples bread to remind them that they were going to need the bread of life every moment of every day to get through what was coming, because He was going and they were going to be left behind. A couple weeks ago, Brother Rick led us out with Mr. Gary, Brother Gary leading us out. Every single day, every single moment of every single day, the bread of life is offered to you in the presence of whatever enemy. And it's not meant to just for yourself, right? It's meant for others. So I challenge you today, I encourage you today, is this. Why aren't you sitting at the table? Why aren't you at the table enjoying the bread of life? You think you're not good enough? That's a lie. Let's get rid of it. Boom, gone. We rebuke that. Don't know how? Come hungry and thirsty. Surrender. Say, I don't know how. I just know I need a life. John, go ahead and put up the last one. Our greatest temptation is to go through the motions without maximizing the moments of life. I want you to picture something one day. I want you to picture something. That there's somebody at your work, there's somebody in your family, there might be somebody here, and they're saying these words, Jesus, if you're real, I need you to show up. And God's saying, I am so real that I'm sending Brian. I'm sending somebody. I'm sending Dane. I'm sending somebody that's not perfect, but has made themselves available because they've eaten the bread of life. I've eaten the bread of life. But I know every single day there's fresh bread on the table. You see, Jesus didn't tell those stories, and the Psalms does not apply to a moment in time. It applies to a lifestyle. Is your lifestyle one that says, yes, I'm eating of the bread of life, and it's in the presence of my enemies? Tomorrow, this afternoon, think about that for yourself personally, that there's a table prepared for you in life that's got hot, fresh bread that wants to feed something inside that's longing to be fed by that which is greater than yourself. Do not give in to that temptation. Because when you give in, when I give in to that temptation, you know what I look like, don't you? And all of you just go right by me. just go right by me. And I don't want that to happen to you, and I don't think you want it to happen to you or the people you love and you care about. So this message, that's why I don't. Someone asked me, we're doing communion today when they follow us? I said, no. This is the table that's always ready. The seat's always available for you and for me. There's time for communion. We'll probably do that soon. But today is about, what do you need to come to the table and enjoy the presence of God Monday morning, Friday afternoon, Wednesday night? That's what I'm asking you. Can you come hungry and thirsty to the table prepared for you? I'm going to pray for us. You have your cards. Gary, you can come on up. I was looking for you. I didn't see you back. I finally saw you back there. You got your cards and your envelopes. And the basket will be up here. If you want to, Kevin and I will be up here. And Rick and Regina will be up here. If you just want to come and spend some time praying, get somebody to pray with, that's cool. So I'm just going to pray for us. My Heavenly Father, thank you for the table. Thank you for the bread of life. Thank you that you're always inviting me, us, we, to come and enjoy the relationship. Father, help us right now in these few moments to discern between you and not you. Battle's been tough today. Think, God, why do I expect it to be easy every day? That's a lie. Father, as we give you these next few moments, just pray you continue to speak to us now, Father. The altar is open, and cards, you can bring your cards and your envelopes up if you like. Time is for you and God.